Thank you, Ian. You know, this scripture, the story that Ian just read for us from the Gospel of Matthew, is one of those stories that fills me with these mixed emotions of joy and judgment. So I hear this story and I get it. I get it right away. Here's Jesus. He is early on in his ministry. He's come into the town of Capernaum and he's preaching this amazing message that is like this bolt out of nowhere that people for some reason had not heard it said in the way in which he is saying it. And they hearken back to the prophet Isaiah, who talks about the time will come where in the deepest shadows there will be this bright light that will come upon us. And Jesus' words become a bright light. In this brutish and chaotic world in which they live, people hear him and they hear him say, turn back, repent, metanoia, the word that we've spoken about before in Greek, metanoia, to not just turn around, but to turn around and embrace life in a way that gives you life, to turn from the things that take away from the fullness of life. And he preaches this message and he's walking along the shores of Galilee and he sees the Peter and Andrew, and he says, come, follow me. And they do. They just get up and they go. They drop their nets and they go a little bit further. And there's James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And he says, come, follow me. And they do. They have within them this gene that is easily inspired. I think I have that gene. I think many of you have that gene as well. Listen. If you were to play for me just a few bars of Les Mis right now, I would be so inspired that I would want to walk out and lay down my life, whether it be for the child that I raised, even though it was not my own, or whether it be for a cause like they do, marching in to fight for justice. Play me that and I am inspired. Give me the chance to go walking out into the Ko'olau's or see a sunrise, a moonrise, and I want to be like St. Francis and I want to save the entirety of the creation. Bring me to an event like we had on Monday night when we had our Martin Luther King celebration and we honored Wally and Kay Inglis, and I want to indeed, as Jeanette talked about, take the hands and walk with people and who believe that we shall overcome and actually make it happen. I want to do exactly as Peter and Andrew and James and John does. I want to drop it all and I want to go follow. And yet, the judgment comes in. Because like, you know, Peter, I mean, he left, and James and John and Andrew, they left family behind in Capernaum. You don't see me leaving my family behind. Although, if they were here, they might say, sometimes I have. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left behind their career and their livelihood. You know, I've been very intentional about making sure that I get paid for the things that I do. Peter and James and John, they left their hometown. I had the opportunity when I was leaving seminary to go work on the reservations in South Dakota and North Dakota or go to Kauai, and I went, I'd like to come home. They didn't want to leave home and all of that. So when I look at that story and I hear that story, I hear it very personally. And I know that some of you hear it very personally as well. And you hear that story that says, stop, drop everything, throw caution to the wind, get up and follow me. And you question, in fact, whether you can. We are part of a culture, we are part of a world that tries to structure itself so that we can hedge our bets as best as possible, so that we cannot have to throw caution into the wind, so that we can make sure that we have prepared for all things. I'm 63 years old. What the world is telling me in just a couple of years, I get to start thinking about retiring. I can't even imagine that that's a possibility, but apparently it is. And I think about retiring, and I think about the stupid decisions I made when I was younger and didn't think about retiring, and now all of a sudden I'm going, what am I going to retire on? And all of a sudden, I'm operating in a world that is not throw caution to the wind. I'm operating in a world that is all about preparing myself, making sure that I have taken care of everything. At the end of every month, I, like all of you, are writing checks. And one of those checks, the biggest check that we may be writing, is to the person who is our landlord or to the bank who owns us, our house, excuse me. And we are writing these because we want to create a stable home for ourselves, for our families. We want to make sure that we have that there so that we have a roof over our heads. We're not going to go just walking along the shores of the lake and just camp out wherever we are. That's not who we see ourselves being for so many of us. I think about health. I think about my mom's health. I think about my wife's health. I think about the health of that grandchild. It's going to be a boy, by the way. We just found out this week that is coming in 6 months. I think about my own health, and I think about, do I have the insurance? Do I have what is needed to take care of me? Everything that I have done so much in my life is really so much about making sure I've taken care, I have been cautious, I have been careful, that I can take care of myself and take care of my family. It has not been about get up and follow me and throw caution to the wind. And frankly, I'm just a reflection of the culture and the society that we all live in that values such stability. In fact, we will walk across the courtyard when the service is done, and we will go to our annual meeting. And in our annual meeting, we will, in fact, celebrate the stability of this church. We will have documents. Catherine and Bruce are amazing. They produced these wonderful documents, a budget document and a document with all sorts of graphs and all that, in fact, show us that we are doing really well in a world in which so many churches are collapsing and falling apart. We have a stable budget. Did you know that our endowment grew by between 15 to 20% this last year? That's a lot of money. That it just grew because we've invested wisely. We've taken good care. We are going to celebrate the fact that Elaine, where is Elaine? There she is. Has been this amazing moderator, and she's going to pass the gavel on to Christy, who's going to be an amazing moderator, and we're going to celebrate that Stephen is the past moderator, has just done this amazing job, and we've got a new treasurer, we've got a new clerk, and we have stability. We have buildings that could easily, like so many other churches, be falling down and crumbling at our feet, and instead we are allocating tens of thousands of dollars of every year to make sure that we do that. And so we, who are the inheritors of the organization that was built by those who just dropped everything so that they could follow Jesus, have worked very hard to create stability. And that is to be celebrated. And yet, even as we celebrate it, just as I can try and celebrate stability in my own life, the comfort that I may have in a home that I know I am paying for every month, the stability that we may have in an organization that has the funds that it needs, the buildings that it needs to go forward, we ought to be hearing that voice behind us that is challenging us in the midst of the pursuit of our stability. Have we lost our ability to drop and come and follow? Have we lost that? And the truth of the matter is some days we probably have, and some days we haven't. And it is living in the midst of that ambiguity between those times where we are so utterly focused on being comfortable and stable, and those other times where we are so open to the Spirit moving within us, and we have to live between all those. And guess what? We are not alone. We are not alone. The gospel story that Ian read for us is this wonderful story. It's this amazing story. Jesus walks along the shores of the lake, and he sees Peter and Andrew and James and John, says, "Come and follow me," and they drop everything and off they go. But how many times did Jesus walk around the shore of the lake beforehand and say, "Come and follow me," and they said, "Yeah, not quite now." How many times when they were doing their journeys together and they came back to Capernaum, did Peter's wife pull him aside and say, Peter, do you think maybe you could stay home for a little while? How many times did Zebedee look at James and John and say, guys, you know, I could use some help with the boat. And they perhaps stopped and stayed. How many times when the gospel, when the disciples crowd was traveling along and finances got really tight, did Peter and Andrew step aside and say, you know what, let's go earn a little bit of money for a month. Let's go earn some money. Let's go catch some fish to make sure that we can take care of things here. We certainly know that these folks whose life we celebrate because they dropped everything and they went and they followed Jesus, we certainly know that there were times that they didn't do so well at that following part. On the night and on the day in which Jesus is crucified, Peter has every opportunity to follow Jesus at the most important moment of his life, and Peter, instead of following, denies Jesus' existence, denies any connection to him whatsoever. We know that a few days later, after the crucifixion, the boys are all up in the upper room cowering in fear. They're not out there on the streets saying, whoa, what did you do to Jesus out there? They are cowering. It's only the women who have the courage to go out in the morning to go to the grave. And it is there that they are able to see the risen Christ and see that life is completely turned on a dime at that moment. They weren't so good at the follow me part. We know that. And so if we're not so good at the follow me part, that's okay. We have good folks who were preceded us who indeed struggled with it just as much as we may do. And we may talk about the stability of an organization. Well, if you read the book of Acts, the book of Acts is all about the building of that organization. What we know from Paul is that he is going from one city to the next, establishing churches, but not just establishing churches, but working to make sure that this church that is wealthy is going to share some of its wealth with this church that is poor, and Paul is carrying those funds from one church to the next. We know that Paul is over here saying the theology that we have here must be consistent with the theology that we have here, and he goes from one place to the next to make sure that the organization is stable. We know that there were at least a couple of times where James and Peter called everybody back to Jerusalem and said, we got some stuff we got to talk about. We got to make sure that we have this all together before we go forward any further. We got to make sure that we are operating from a place of consistency and stability before we go forward any further. So if I for even a moment sound like I may be being critical of the fact that we are a stable organization, let's understand that the very ones whose footsteps we follow in had the very same kinds of concerns. And here's the thing, though. We would not be here, though, if their concerns about stability, if their concerns about comfort were all they dealt with. Because in the back of their mind, in the back of their spirit, they always had that voice that they heard on the shores of Lake Galilee that said, the kingdom of God is upon us. Be part of that. Build that kingdom. Be that kingdom. Stop and follow. Be willing to let the Spirit move through you. Be willing to be inspired. And because even though at times they fell short as we do, even though at times they fell short, they also time after time after time remembered that the most important thing was not whether or not they were responsible, but whether they were responsive to the one who called them. That they remembered that the most important thing was not how shall we lead, but who shall we follow. And when we have those things in the back of our mind, the reality is the world is going to call us this way. And the gospel message may call us this way.
And if we follow this way, the world may say you're being quite foolish, but indeed we are called to be foolish at times. There are other times where we are called to be utterly stable and comfortable, and living between those two is really the task that we have in order to be those who would be the ones that would follow. There's a Franciscan blessing that I found that many of you I know have heard before that I thought was so apropos at this moment. So let me read this to you. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that instead we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people and creation, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and to the poor. May we indeed be blessed with such discomfort in the midst of all that we do to make sure that we have done all that is prudent and careful. May we also be blessed with discomfort, that discomfort that makes us ask questions, makes us think about, is there another way, and makes us dream enough to know that indeed we can be so foolish that we will indeed make a difference in this world. Amen.